There's a tremendous cost differential of some $300 million. Were I to be here today to accept this report, I would not be comfortable at this point locking us into a filtration approach. I mean, we're going to try to get a waiver from filtration altogether, but if we can't, I still think UV radiation treatment, cheaper, more state-of-the-art, needs to be looked at, less of an impact on ratepayers. So I just want to voice that concern now because I'm not sure I'm going to be here for this afternoon session. But I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, let me address that last point first. We did make a decision to change the treatment system from a UV system to the sand filter system, although we had supported the UV system early on. And the reason that we recommended the UV system early on was only because it minimally complied with the LT2 requirement of eliminating any cryptosporidium spores, and that's all a UV system will do. It does not kill a number of other potential bugs, or if we have an algae bloom, for an example, up in the reservoir, it doesn't kill the poison associated with that that causes us to shut down the reservoirs. And so at a point, we last December realized that agreeing to put in, albeit a cheaper method, to comply with LP2, that being the UV system, it really was a waste, because we don't believe we have cryptosporidium in the reservoir in the first place. A sand filter system not only filters out the cryptosporidium that we're required to eliminate from our drinking water, it also eliminates potential bugs that in the future could be cause for the EPA to ask us to clean the water for those as well. It also allows us, using a sand filter system, to draw down 1 billion more gallons of water in the summer when we would otherwise go and turn on the pumps on Columbia Boulevard. So I will be the first to say that, you know, spending $375 million versus $150 million is a tough issue to explain, but I'm actually more comfortable explaining that because we actually get a benefit to the system, not only in the present, that is complying with LT2, but almost every summer we have an algae bloom breakout at Bull Run that we have to shut down the entire system and turn on groundwater for, which is hugely expensive. And a lot of people don't like groundwater. And secondly, I can just anticipate that future generations will have increased requirements for water quality that a sand filter will allow us then to comply with, that a UV system will not. So for those reasons, we've changed course, but we'll have plenty of time to discuss that more in the future. But before I forgot, I wanted to acknowledge that. But I want to thank David for his very thoughtful presentation, but his staff as well. Mike Sturr's back there, Jimmy Brown's back there, Chris is back there. His staff has worked very hard. As Commissioner Saltzman knows, is the only other person up here who's overseen the Water Bureau, these are amongst the most professional people, rivaled only by the Fire Bureau in terms of their focus on providing excellent service and excellent public involvement. I'm very proud of the work they do. I trust the work they do, and I believe that what they've done here is, again, another hallmark in the long storied history of the Portland Water Bureau of investing dollars to make sure that Portlanders have a reliable source of water, not only to drink, but to fight fires with and for a variety of other reasons. So thank you all for the good work, and I appreciate it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this has been on the to-do list for the city for a very long time, so I'm pleased to move it forward. Especially in the context of such a internal deliberative evaluation and such excellent external outreach. I commend not only the team of the Water Bureau, but Commissioner Leonard. And this is also going to help get Portlanders back to work. And so I'm very supportive of the emergency because of the good work and because we need to get Portlanders to work. And there are going to be other ordinances moving forward and resolutions moving forward in the same vein, especially on our local stimulus package item. So thank you. Aye. 317 is approved. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 318?
Authorize the assessment of $79,925 for a fire watch at 418 Southwest Washington Street.
This is a second reading vote only. Would you please call the roll?
So I wondered if, asked a question of the city attorney, last week we took off the emergency ordinance. Can we put it back on?
For this particular? It's the second.
I actually was going to recuse myself because I wasn't here last week and haven't had
which
chance
is, to. I don't know. Does that, can Commissioner Saltzman recuse himself?
I can leave, too. This is the last item. So.
Okay.
You need four.
The other question is, can we put it back?
Yeah, you need the four, so his absence wouldn't make a difference, but you're wanting to put the emergency clause back on the ordinance.
Let's test the motion. If we have four votes for it, then it makes sense.
I'll have to find out for you right away. I don't know the answer if you can put it back on right now. The difference being that if it was an emergency ordinance,
you
it would affect the day as opposed to 30 days.
Carlos says we can.
Someone can make a motion to put on the emergency clause.
I move to put the emergency clause back on.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion on applying the emergency clause to this ordinance? Anyone wishes to testify on this issue? Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Yes.
Saltzman?
I'm going to recuse myself.
Recuse.
Yes,
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Emergency is applied. Please call the roll on the underlying ordinance.
I don't see why you couldn't,
okay.
Commissioner Leonard.
Good, we just did.
Fritz.
Well, serious allegations have been made in this case by the property owner and by the city, and I appreciate Mr. Pappas and the others who are here today, both for coming last week and for coming back. Thank you for providing additional information. Thank you to city staff who have also been very helpful to me, and I have reviewed a lot of information in last week, and I think had I had all this information last week, I would have been comfortable voting for it then, but after reading the case files, it's apparent that we've worked very hard with the applicant to achieve compliance with the building and fire code regulations, and that there are many serious and dangerous violations that are yet to be resolved. The key issue to me is the findings of the Fire Code Board of Appeals, where Mr. Pappas testified on October 10th, and while the fines were suspended and was given another chance to get things in order by April, the fire watch was kept in full force in effect. And as Commissioner Fish stated last week, this is what we are being asked to vote on, to implement the Fire Code Board of Appeals decision to assess the lien and to not excuse that lien. And so that's the only question that I'm being asked to vote on today in my understanding of this ordinance. And while I understand that the property owner believes that he's being picked on by the city, I believe that the city also has to has a responsibility to protect the citizens and the customers. It does make sense to have an inter-bureau code compliance team to ensure that buildings and businesses function in a safe manner and that the bureaus are talking about all the issues that need to be resolved. I'm looking forward to Commissioner Leonard bringing forward a resolution with a transparent process that establishes a clear and effective mechanism for achieving the compliance that is necessary in some cases and which can be used to help the bureaus work together to the property owners to resolve the many issues as in this case. But my research into this issue does confirm the need to assess the lien against the property to implement the decision of the Fire Code Board of Appeals. So I vote aye.
Fish?
I want to compliment Commissioner Fritz for her comments, and she stole a little bit of my thunder, but I appreciate the thoughtful way that she framed the issue and described her thought process, and I think it's a model of how each of us can approach this question. First of all, because this has become a somewhat personal dispute, and I, like Amanda, I've had a chance to review the record, and I think it's gotten unduly personal, so I'm just going to say up front that, Ted, I've in the last 12 years eaten at your restaurant regularly, and I happen to love Greek food. But I want to be very clear, this has nothing to do with that. This has nothing to do with the food you serve. It has nothing to do with you and your ethnicity. It has nothing to do with the restaurant. This has to do with one thing, and that is whether Greek Cuisine is required to pay for a licensed and bonded third-party fire watch. That's the question before us. Now, each of us have our own ways of looking at issues, particularly issues of public safety, and here's how I approach them. On issues of fire safety, my practice is to defer to the fire professionals, since we have actually entrusted them with making good judgments for our community. And in this case, both Chief Knorr and Chief Klum have concluded that a third-party fire watch is required. And I am in absolutely no position to second-guess that judgment, and I have the highest regard for their integrity and professionalism. And again, in reviewing the record, I know they did not reach this conclusion lightly. So on the question of the health and safety of the public, this commissioner will err on the side of the public. But I will also note in reviewing the record, and Commissioner Fritz brought this out, there's an extensive history of fire code violations. And this is not just an abstraction. These violations go to the heart of this of providing a safe building for people who both are your customers and for people who work for you. And secondly, I think also important to note, is that Greek Cuisine has in the past agreed to its own fire watch. So the fundamental question here is not whether there should be a fire watch. It's a question as to whether a licensed and bonded third-party fire watch was required and whether a lien should attach. Now, I've stated that I have a practice of deferring to the fire professionals, but as a council, it's our job to make sure that procedurally any citizen coming before us has been treated fairly. We do have that safety valve function. And I've seen my colleagues regularly on tough issues ask the questions which go to the heart of, have you had a fair process? Have you had some recourse prior to coming here where you've been treated fairly? So I just want to note for the record that I concur with Commissioner Fritz. The proper place to raise this is at the Fire Board of Appeals, and the Fire Board of Appeals did not remove the watch. They did make some accommodation on the fines, and as I read the ordinance, Chief Knorr at any time could, in his good judgment, make a recommendation for reduction of the fines. But again, that's not the question before us. So for anyone watching this and wondering what does Mr. Pappas have as options if he thinks he's been unfairly treated, well, he has the right to go to the Board of Appeals, which he has exercised. He has the right, with respect to any law enforcement officer, to file a complaint with any of our review boards like the IPR. You've done so, and the complaint was not substantiated. You actually have the right to sue the city if at the end of the day, and I took it from your exchange with Commissioner Leonard last week that you are contemplating that, although I'm not aware that we've received a tort claim notice. And Lord knows I'm not encouraging you to sue the city, but we do have a legal system with checks and balances, and people have the right to sue us if they disagree with our decisions. But when I look at all the options available to you as a business person, as a citizen, I don't think you've been treated unfairly. And in fact, in the one place where you brought your appeal, it was denied. So I'm concluded that you've been treated fairly. But Mr. Pappas, I have to tell you, in this issue, I have been troubled by what appears to be an attempt to divert the attention away from the real issue. And I'm going to say this respectfully, because I do have respect for you. But I do not think it's constructive to our discussion to call the team of law enforcement professionals who we have charged with enforcing code Randy Leonard's hit squad. And I know it makes a caption in a newspaper, and I know it gets attention, but I'm just telling you my view. You're free to, your First Amendment protects what you want to say, but it gives me the right to also express my view. And I find the constant references to, quote, Randy Leonard's hit squad demeaning to the professionals that we've entrusted to do this important work. In addition, in the last time we got together, you made some very serious charges about some other law enforcement individuals, including Officer Myers, who you regularly referred to as a liar, and you called out his integrity. Now, again, I've looked at the record, I've listened carefully to you, and I'm troubled by the, in my view, casual way in which you have impugned the integrity of, again, law enforcement professionals that we've entrusted to do this important work. It would have a little more credence in my mind if at some point in the review process someone had concurred with any of your complaints against Officer Myers or anyone else who serves this city. But I will tell you that I've had a personal experience in this matter, which I need to put on the record, which is I have been criticized by you for not giving you the courtesy of a one-on-one meeting. And as I explained to you when you made that charge and did it in a fairly public way, My practice, because I'm an extremely overburdened city commissioner, managing two substantial bureaus and what is the worst economy in my lifetime, my practice is to take the senior person in my office who has actual responsibility for an issue and to ask them to meet with a concerned citizen, in your case, to get all the information and then to be briefed. Our system would not function if we did not use our senior staff people in that way. And when I asked you to meet with Carmen Rubio, I wasn't asking you to meet with an intern in my office. I was asking you to meet with my senior policy advisor, who, as you know, has served with distinction previously in Mayor Potter's office. During the course of your conversation with her, you expressed a number of your grievances. And she, in keeping with the high level of professionalism that she adheres to, reviewed with you a number of options that you might have to pursue claims if you thought you were being treated unfairly. And that included letting you know about an IPR process if you felt that anybody was treating you improperly. That triggered a communication from you in writing, which was broadly disseminated, in which you said that Ms. Rubio had suggested that you file a complaint against a law enforcement professional involved in this matter. And I have to tell you, that troubled me greatly. A, that there was an insinuation that you had been disrespected because you had only met with my senior policy advisor, and B, that in the course of her giving you, like any other citizen, advice as to what your options were, it now was characterized as a suggestion that you take action against someone. And I mention that because all we have in this process today and going forward is our own integrity and our trust and our ability to communicate honestly and openly. And that troubled me greatly, and I expressed to you in a letter why that troubled me. I want to come back to the question before us. We've been asked to approve a lien so that the city can recover its costs. After we do so, the fire marshal has the authority to reduce the amount of lien in the future or to come back to the council with other recommendations. After looking at all the information in the file, listening to all the testimony, and listening to the thoughtful comments of my colleagues prior today and today, I'm satisfied that the fire watch was properly authorized and that you, Mr. Pappas, have had a full and fair opportunity to challenge that fire watch. And so I vote aye.
Leonard?
There are times in people's lives when tragedy happens, and they stop when that happens, and they look back, and they think, what could I have done different? Most people live through life without having that happen, but there are people who lose a loved one in a plane crash who wonder, if I would have just not taken them to the airport that day, maybe they would live. There are people who have loved ones who die in a car accident and think, you know, maybe I should have taken that person myself in that accident when it happened. And then there are people who I've interacted with over the years who've either been landlords or occupants of a residence that caught on fire and somebody died in, who stand out in the street in the middle of the night and we're consoling them, saying, what could I have done different? And clearly, Mr. Pappas, you've never had that happen. And as harsh as this approach appears to you, it really is an attempt for you never to have that happen, any of you sitting there. I do not know how to begin to explain to you, if the men and the women of the Portland Fire Bureau and the Portland Police Bureau and the Bureau of Development Services weren't doing what they were doing, and a fire occurred in your building that you've altered without permit, which is basically a fireplace with a nice chimney in it, and you lost either customers or employees or professional firefighters trying to fight the fire, I cannot explain to you how that would change your life, that there is no amount of money you'd be willing to pay to get back to this point in time before that happened to do what it is we're telling you have to do. And unfortunately, we are in the place where the fire bureau isn't very often where we're telling you have to do this stuff, but you've put us in a place where we have to do that. And it not only is to protect the public and the public safety personnel, but honestly, to protect you from the grief that you do not understand you would live under if something bad happened. So I hope that you can listen to my words and listen to the pleas of the fire professionals and the police professionals and understand we don't want to be adversaries. We want to work with you. We want you to be successful, but we want people to be safe. And whether they're your family or yourself or your employees or the firefighters. We want you all to be safe. That's the bottom line. And that's what this is about, and nothing more than that. And having said that, I greatly appreciate the kind words of my colleagues before me, and I appreciate the work of the Portland Fire Bureau, the Portland Police Bureau, and the Bureau of Development Services, and their standards of protecting the public from tragedies. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I'm not a strict constructionist on these kinds of issues. But I respect those that are, and I really did want to sort of, as part of hearing this matter, make sure that even though individual efforts might, I know, with the best of intentions, had been made as part of this overall process, that the overall process treated you fairly. And, no process is going to be perfect, but in this particular case, I agree with my colleagues that you've had multiple opportunities to make your case in this process. This has been going on for a very long time. I was surprised when you talked about being asked by the city to move out of your residential living situation in the building, which is not allowed. And I want you to succeed. But I also want you to succeed in a manner that's safe. And so that's why I'm supporting this. I want to thank the team of Bureau professionals, and I want to thank Commissioner Leonard. Very difficult. A lot of effort was put into this. A lot of care was put into it. And I hope that we can resolve this issue and very quickly and get you focused exclusively on making sure that your business succeeds. But again, in a safe manner. You cannot. You've had your chance. So I vote aye. Item is approved. Council is in recess till 2 p.m. Good comments.